Like all time for all times?
Whenever you're ready, bud. Well, just whenever you're ready, bud.
Alright, ready? Also, don't do the speedrun.
We're speedrunning.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome back.
Okay.
No, we were clapping.
Jackson, like, we don't need to clap it because I'm editing everything.
The timer's going.
Dude,
you better go.
For old times.
Welcome back to a brand spanking new season of Roomies Talking Movies. This season, we are not only going to have so much more content to cover each episode, we're also playing catch up with everything that wasn't released last year. So, without further ado, let's get right into what this whole podcast is about. Joined with me today, as always, are my lovely co-host, Camden Powell.
Hello!
And the luscious locked Jackson Salvestrini.
Happy holidays.
And where are my manners? I am your host, Danan Pacheco, and welcome to Roomies Talking Movies, the next best stop for all things movie news and reviews. New York Times calls us the chicken fries of podcast, because in theory, it sounds like it's a really good idea, but when you actually get to it, you made a grave mistake.
That was a really lame joke. I'm gonna be honest with you, dude.
I appreciate it.
Also, because I like chicken fries, so how dare you, first of all?
Well, you know what you get to like today, Camden?
Hmm.
What we're covering in this episode. Because this episode, we're not just reviewing Pixar's Soul, okay? We're not just reviewing Wonder Woman 1984, okay? We're also reviewing the first two episodes of WandaVision and, like, 4 weeks worth of movie news. So we better crack this gate right open and get started. But first, how was everyone's little break that we had?
Not long enough. Not long enough.
Not long enough, though. I agree. Yeah.
I'm actually going to drop out of school. I need a longer break, so. Can I still stay on the podcast, though?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Okay, cool. I don't care.
I'm actually just going to take a break for the rest of my life.
Oh.
When I go... just going to go buy a house and then sleep for the rest of my life.
You make
days.
That much no money more. As an AM? Wow. That's impressive.
Imagine what he'd make as a PM.
Seriously.
Wait, you need money to do that? Are you kidding me?
Monopoly has lied to me this whole time.
If you just walk up to a house, you can go, hey, I want that one, and they'll just give it to you. Little known fact.
If you walk up to the dude selling the house, you say boardwalk and hand him $200. He goes, legally, I have to give you the house.
Yeah, and then if someone wants to accidentally step on your property, they owe you like $1,000. So
at least.
That's how home management works, right?
Yeah, that's what the HOA
is. Yeah, I learned that in econ. That's pretty much it. So what was the best/worst of 2020 for you? There's a whole lot of worst, but what can you weed through to pick out like a best moment for you? What was that? The silence is good.
No, I got it. When we made our St. Patrick's Day cards, that was the highlight.
That was a good moment of 2020. But notice how these good moments are all from before, like March.
Yeah.
Was there any?
We'll try to get that St. Patrick's Day postcard up for you guys when this episode gets released on our brand new Instagram. What? That's right. We have a brand new page.
Woo!
Follow us on Roomies Talking Movies.
Twitter coming soon.
Cameron, what's our Twitter handle?
Coming soon.
Oh, we don't have a Twitter.
I forgot that I was supposed to be doing that.
Don't worry. I gave you like a week and a half. That was.
It'll be okay.
Time.
We'll just
so
make
sorry.
It like a running gag. Like it'll be like. Oh, maybe next week. Maybe next week. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's stop living in the past and start looking towards the future with enough news to bury all the sadness of 2020. Are you ready for our first heaping pile of news that will get us started?
I think I'm ready.
It's not great. You thought this year would be the end of needless sequels? Uh-uh. Get that crap out of here. A new poster and details for Illumination Sing 2, which is set for December 22nd of this year, has been released. Also, Bono and Pharrell are in it. So, we at least know one good movie's coming out this year.
Yeah. The first one was, like, unironically pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, not
I like when the gorilla played the piano, so I was like...
I didn't watch it.
I like when the dad broke out of jail because his son was playing music.
I can do a really good Johnny's dad impression.
Johnny, you gotta rob all the bananas, Johnny.
It's pretty much what he said.
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty good.
Yeah, good job.
I'll get a clip and put it up right after that one so people can hear how spot on that was.
Johnny, you were supposed to be keeping a lookout.
Sorry, Dad.
And where's your mask?
Okay, buddy.
I don't think they need that.
that's copyright, my guy.
Perfect. Yeah, you might actually just get us off.
Hey, Jackson.
Nope.
Okay. George Miller's prequel to Mad Max Fury Road starring Anya Taylor-Joy gets a release date of June 23rd, 2023. Oh my gosh, 2023. Man.
That's weird how that's only 2 years away.
I know. It feels like it's 23 years away. I am constantly living in the year 2000.
Did you ever live in the year 2000?
No, but I am
now. You weren't
now.
Even born. Wait.
We get our first look at the Mortal Kombat movie. What did you all think? What did you think, Danon? You're looking at me funny.
I feel like you guys didn't look at the pictures yet.
No, I looked at the pictures. What they look like. I'm not excited about a Mortal Kombat movie. I don't think that there needs to be a Mortal Kombat movie.
They already made a perfect one back in the 90s with the best theme song of all time.
Yeah.
And not much else. I can't remember much of it. But I think a little touch up with the new special effects and everything might be a fun little eye treat right there. I'm not sure if it's going to be any good, like, movie wise, but I think, you know, we'll have some cool action scenes in there at least.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
It could be cool.
And they seem to be going all in with, like, everything. Like, Jax's robot arms don't look like total CGI.
Jackson has robot arms?
I do, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
I got them replaced over break because my old arms, they just weren't cutting it. They weren't cutting anything, actually. Oh. Like, I just wanted my arms to be able to cut things. So I got them replaced with robot arms. And now I can, like, you know, slice some bread with my arm.
Nice.
That you got rid of both of your arms in order to cut bread.
I mean, bread among other things, but bread was a big bread
that was
the
main selling point.
I got robot.
That was one of the bigger selling points on why you got the robot arms.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's actually what they advertise it for. They're like, you can slice bread. They also
really doesn't take much to get you to buy stuff. That doesn't.
No.
Honestly, if my arms could slice bread, I'd get it too.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I wish I had that opportunity.
You still can. He hasn't been arrested yet.
Can it slice toast, though?
With some effort, yeah.
Oh, God. Well, that's not even worth it.
You know what is worth it? Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Wonder Woman 3 has been greenlit at Warner Brothers with Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins returning for the third movie in the trilogy. You think we'll actually get Wonder Woman in the present day, or are we going to get Wonder Woman 1492?
Wonder Woman 2008, The Recession.
Wonder Woman Y2K.
She has to stop the computers.
Guys, where was Wonder Woman during 9/11?
No, for real, though.
That's a great point. I don't want to say it's her fault, but we have to hold her accountable because she was clearly here since the 1980s, so.
Yeah. It was established in the most recent movie that she's just been alive this whole time, so.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what else they think about the most recent movie, Jackson? Warner Brothers has submitted Wonder Woman 1984 for consideration in all categories of the 93rd Academy Awards. I don't think it should really get any of
that's
them.
I
little,
don't think so either.
Not poggers, if I may say so myself.
Like, music, I mean, it's not terrible. It's got some good music. Special effects, some places look like a PS2 video game. I just... Yeah, overall, I just don't see how it could win anything, but because it's going up against Sonic the Hedgehog, baby.
You think Sonic the Hedgehog is going to win anything?
Maybe special effects.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
It was pretty good. I mean, there's not... What movies could, like, even compete this year?
The Irishman for a second year, because it didn't get much last time. They're like, no, guys, trust us, it's a super good movie if you sit down for 4 hours.
So what's, like, the cutoff date for the Academy Awards? Like,
I think it's sometime in, like... end of January. Oh, okay. Because January films are still considered for the Oscars. That's what 1917 was all about.
Is Sonic an animated movie technically or no?
No. Mm. It would have special effects.
Oh, okay.
What would be up for animated movies?
Soul.
The Croods.
Trolls and Croods.
Soul?
Get Soul out.
Soul would win. Okay. Like,
Soul would win hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. We'll get to the review in due time.
Warner Bros. Is considering moving Dune back to a theatrical release to preserve its franchise potential.
For those of you who remember from last season, this was the same group of writers, directors, actors, and everything who was like, hey, Warner Brothers, could you not do that for this movie? And they're like, money. So, I don't know. I kind of think, like, what's happening with the Zack Snyder thing, a director should have some say in, like, what they're doing with their movie, you know?
No, they shouldn't have any say at all.
Yeah, but as we'll see later today, the director doesn't always have the best discretion. I'm talking about Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Hot takes are already happening before we even get there.
Warner Brothers live action animated hybrid, Coyote vs. Acme, will be released on July 1st, 2023. Dave Green is set to direct with James Gunn, Jeremy Slater, John and Josh Silverman, and Sammy Birch.
They were just all using one piece of paper, too. It's just like, hey, move over.
They're all in a Google Doc, and they're typing funny things to each other.
They're all on a very small table. There's a piece of paper on the table, and only one person can write, like, you know, like, straight, write either sideways.
But also, the pencil is, like, at the talking stick, so you're not allowed to talk unless you have the pencil and you're writing, so no one can put input while you're writing. It's just, it's a mess.
And then when they get there, it's just a completely just messy single sticky note. They're like, what is this? And he's like, the script.
They actually drew the Mona Lisa, believe it or not.
It's just one of those coincidental things.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Godzilla v. Kong will now release on March 26th in theaters and on HBO Max. I just want to see some monkey on
monkey
giant lizard action.
Punch lizard. That's going to be the whole movie.
You guys saw that trailer, didn't you? Like that quick little HBO Max ad?
Yeah.
King Kong, like, freaking decks Godzilla, so I'm pretty sure Godzilla's still going to win because he's a giant alien monster.
I have a question about King Kong.
Yeah?
Is he actually, like, a king? Like, is he royalty?
No.
Well, then why is his name King Kong?
Well, it's not. It's just Kong in this movie universe.
Not necessarily.
Oh, really?
You haven't seen the movie, so...
I'm looking at the title of the movie.
Yeah, the title of the movie. So?
No, he's the king of England. That's the queen's husband.
That's why they barely get photographed together, because it's a giant 80-foot monkey. And they're like, ah, this camera can't get it all.
Yeah, exactly. But in all honesty, King Kong has to win because he has thumbs.
Yeah, but Godzilla has giant nuclear laser breath. Which I feel will come into play
somewhere.
Yeah, but
King Kong can put thumb in Godzilla eyes, so when you think about it.
Godzilla closes door. King Kong opens.
Actually, yeah.
Godzilla screams.
King Kong must live a really sad life, because there's no tree big enough to swing from.
That's why he chooses the buildings, dude.
That's true, you're right.
Yeah.
But damn, he's lived for thousands of years, right? What if he lived before civilization?
Before trees?
No, before giant buildings.
Oh.
See what I mean?
He'd climb the pyramids.
Oh, true, yeah. Those are a natural spawn, like in Minecraft.
Yeah. Warner Bros. Reveal their plans starting in 2022. Four high-budget DC films will be released in theaters and two low-budget DC films on HBO Max. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
That's stupid, right?
That explains why Wonder Woman released on HBO Max.
Because it's low-budget, baby.
Low-budget, low-quality. You love to see it.
Yeah, that's so weird. Can you imagine if Marvel came out and was like, we're going to make a low-budget movie? People will be like, why? What? What are you doing?
Why?
Or Star Wars is just like, we're going to make a movie with like no budget, but you guys will enjoy it.
They're not going into space. There will be no aliens. It's all humans.
It's recorded in Australia. So,
yeah.
It's really bold of DC, who already makes bad films, to lower their budget on their films, you know?
I'm more focused on the thing where they said, four high budget DC
films.
Yeah,
we can talk about that later, Dana, but the two low budget films right now. I mean,
it's weird how that's one of their selling points.
It is really weird.
They're like, hey, guy, I'm going to get you all excited. We're releasing two heaping pile of shit alongside four mediocre movies.
Mediocre is a large overstatement.
Strong word. Yeah. Strong word. I want them to make a good movie. I want them to be good.
Yeah, we want that, but it's not going to happen.
Do you think their low-budget films are going to be something like a Nightwing movie, or you think they're going to go something big like Swamp
Superman.
Thing?
Superman. They're just making Superman again.
They should just take some like obscure hero or like some obscure villain. Like the Penguin.
Yeah.
Come on. Have like.
Like Lex Luthor. Who's heard of that guy?
The Penguin.
I personally have never.
Snart.
You love Snart.
Snart is the best Jesse character.
He's got a funny name too.
Yeah.
Snart. It's a noise I make whenever I vomit. Snart!
Okay, bud.
I don't think Zack Snyder is releasing his version of the Justice League in 4 mini episodes now. No, no, no. It's going to be one whole 4-hour block. And you best believe we're going to be recording it.
We're recording it? Danny, that's piracy. Dude, we can't do that.
We're going to be doing that.
Oh,
we'll put it online for an MP3. And that one's just going to be like, I don't know what's happening.
An MP3. They're just listening like, oh, God, this is really going to be good for my walk today.
Yeah, my 4-hour walk to work.
Wait, you guys don't listen to movies? What?
It's the newest thing in podcasts, actually. You just listen to movies instead.
Take out all the stupid visuals no one's paying attention to.
Yeah, they spend too much money on it anyways. Those Foley artists, they don't get enough attention, so.
Do you know how they make horseshoe noises? Coconuts.
That's not surprising. Impressive. You know how they make gun noises?
Guns?
Yeah.
You know how they make a knife wound sound? They stab someone in the sound recording.
They stab the actor, actually. Just for realism.
Nah, that doesn't sound like Chris Pine getting stabbed. Chris, get in here? Yeah, what's... Ah! There's the noise.
They all got different blood vessels, you know? So you just gotta... And they all squeak different.
They actually use a sound double for Dwayne The Rock Johnson because whenever he gets stabbed, he goes... Ah!
No, when they stab Dwayne The Rock Johnson, they just stab a boulder. Get it? Because he's The Rock.
They sound the same. They sound the same.
Zack Snyder released an image from Justice League of Wonder Woman holding 3 heads in front of a group of soldiers. What could this mean? I'm so intrigued.
I'm pretty sure it just means that his Wonder Woman...
It just means that she was holding heads.
Yeah. They're like, hey, Wonder Woman, can you hold these 3 heads for this picture? And she's like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, but it looks like she kills people in this one.
I don't like a Wonder Woman who kills, especially a Wonder Woman with a sword and a shield. Those are just for show.
Yeah, they should be, yeah, as it should be. It's just
she should use her lasso.
Also, question. I want to throw this out now because I'll forget by the time we get to Wonder Woman 84. How come she never uses her sword or shield in the movie?
She doesn't need them.
Too hard to choreograph.
Gotcha.
Two answers. Left fist and right fist. Zack Snyder's Justice League gets a possible title change to Justice League Director's Cut. That's dumb. That's the same thing.
Would you even consider it a Director's Cut? It's longer than the actual Justice League. How's that a cut?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, no, it's like his cut of film.
Director's Edition.
Director's whole different movie.
Director's PEMDAS. It's
Justice League. The same, but different, you know? Question mark.
Birds of Prey, also.
Yeah, throw that one in there. Yeah, I think that Warner Brothers is doing this because they're like, oh, not enough people know about Zack Snyder's Justice League cuts, so we should make it more like approachable for outside audiences. No one who hasn't been following this is going to watch Zack Snyder's Justice League.
No one's going to look at a 4-hour movie and go, I'm going to sit down and watch that right now.
They did with The Irishman, and then it won 0 Oscars.
Exactly. So they're not going to do it again. People learn, Danon. People learn.
Okay, but hear me out.
I actually want to double check.
They might have gotten 0 Oscars, but what if there was a dude watching the movie named Oscar, and he liked it? Like, that's all you need, really.
That's an Oscar right there.
Yeah, that's...
What if there was a dude named Academy Award watching it?
Then they may have just won an Academy Award.
Yeah, it didn't win any, okay. I felt good. I felt confident saying that, but I wanted to be sure.
Oh, I'm glad you double checked. Do we wanna throw in our Twitter handle now, Danon, by the way?
Oh, the one that you made within the time I told you to make it and the time that your computer crashed?
Uh-huh.
Cam, put it up on the screen right now.
At Roomies Movies, because we don't have enough characters to make it our full title show.
But don't worry, all the character is between the 3 of us. That was stupid, Jackson. Can I say something else?
No. But I can affirm right now that we'll be verified by the end of 2021. Verified on Twitter and Instagram.
Really?
And Instagram? It's a lot harder to get verified on Instagram.
You can confirm that, can you?
Well, we'll just get like 500.
Oh, we'll get a bunch of those Instagram and Twitter bots. We'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Those really don't cost money or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's only, it's whatever. Zack Snyder also, to keep with the Justice League train, also, I grouped everything as close together as I possibly could to stop hearing Jackson complain about, oh, there's something in between. Shut up, Jackson. Zack Snyder confirms that there's no plans for a Justice League sequel after his cut of Justice League is released. I don't believe that for a second.
I also don't believe that. I think the Snyder Cut's going to do, like, decently well, you know? And then they're going to go, oh my god, we could make more money off the Justice League.
You think so?
Yeah. The second they get the numbers back, they're going to... Zack Snyder's gonna be like, oh cool, I have two sequels ready. Like,
2 4-hour sequels. I don't know who he's trying to trick. We're gonna have to watch that much more.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to sit down for 4 hours to watch a movie I didn't like the first time.
How do you know you're not gonna like it, Dan? Could be the best thing you've ever seen. You never know.
Because Batman swears, and my Batman in my head canon doesn't swear. Oh, okay.
Batman is a good Catholic man with good morals and ideals.
And loving parents that are both alive.
Without Game of Thrones, HBO lost half of its adult 18 to 49 linear audience in 2020. I am not surprised at all. That's not shocking.
I bet HBO thought they were like riding on cloud nine. They're like, oh my god, everyone loves us. And the second they got one of the biggest TV shows off their service.
I have a genuine question, okay?
Fire away.
All these streaming services, right? Netflix is like, Netflix and Hulu are kind of like their own things, right? Like, they're not really like associated with anything. And then you got Disney Plus, obviously Disney. And then you got Peacock, which is like NBC. You know, what is HBO Max?
Warner Brothers?
That's it?
And,
that's stupid.
And Adventure Time sequel.
Oh, well then never mind. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You're forgiven.
I'll just take back my question.
Oh, good. I got it. I was holding on to it for you. Here you go.
You guys think Wonder Woman brought HBO back any of its adult audience?
100%. Because there's like been 20 things to watch in total for an entire year. So when there was an actual new release, big blockbuster movie, people were like dying to see something like that.
Too bad it sucked. Haha.
Was it good though? We'll have to find out in our review next year.
Following Ray Fisher's resignation from the role last week due to his ongoing dispute with DT. That's not right. Let me try that again. Following Ray Fisher's resignation from the role last week due to his ongoing dispute with DC Films president, Walter Hamada, his character has been cut from the film and it will not be recast.
Now talk about the Flash film. I just pulled that off of a news website. I forgot to add the title to it. But the Flash film was supposed to have like a cyborg section in the beginning. Like a little like, hey, what's up, dude? Let's get out of here. But Ray Fisher's been beeping hard with all the injustice that's been dealt with the whole Justice League debacle thing. He's been very vocal about how he disliked a lot of what happened.
What happened exactly?
Well, it was just like when they did the recast and the redirector thing and everything, there was like sexual misconduct, mistreatment between actors, cast, and crew kind of thing. Stuff like that. And he's been very vocal about it the whole time, how he like hates it. And he's like, as long as these people are still in charge of anything, I'm not going to do anything. Which is good for Ray Fisher for standing up.
Yeah, no, that's way to stand up. Like, that's hard to do.
Yeah. So. And he hasn't been like, oh, I'm not going to say it here. He's always been like, you know what? And then he just jumps into it. It's been pretty good. Speaking of the Flash movie, however, it's been confirmed that after the Flash movie, Michael Keaton will become the DCEU's Batman with Ben Affleck exiting after the film. He's supposed to have nothing more than a glorified cameo, quote-unquote, from what the director says, to be a send-off of his character. And then afterwards, the Michael Keaton Batman is supposed to take, like, a Nick Fury sort of role where he's not really Batman so much as he is old Bruce Wayne.
Huh.
I see.
I really don't like what they're doing
with
the
weird,
DC universe. It's not good.
Okay, I feel like we should... I should like clarify what their game plan is, because they had this big little thing that I was going to add as a new segment, but it was so hard to explain like writing it. So this is what they're doing. With the Robert Pattinson Batman movie coming out next year, this year, can't remember. It's set within Earth 2. Everything that's happened with Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, the Joss Whedon Justice League, Wonder Woman 2, Shazam, Aquaman, all that. Earth 1. whenever they're trying something different with a different film, they will put it within a Earth 2, Earth 3, whatever.
What's the Dark Knight trilogy?
That's like
Earth 0.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. It's some random number. But like, when they find something that does like commercially really well, like if Shazam wasn't within Earth 1, they started as an Earth 2 thing. If it did really well, it goes into Earth 1. And then from there, it connects with all the other superheroes. They're not going to have...
So they just like do like a universe travel thing instead.
Yeah. They're not going to have like five Batman in it with Robert Pattinson and everything. So they're like, okay, he's a different Earth Batman. So that way there's nothing that other directors have to deal with. Which, I mean, is good.
Gotcha.
But how many times are we going to see different Batman movies before we're like, can we see another character?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited for this one. I just don't want to see them keep rebooting him every 5 years.
Well, it's called money, Danon, and they want it.
Yeah.
James Gunn confirms that the Suicide Squad will be rated R. I feel like that was already confirmed, was it not?
No, it was like a, oh, it's not yet rated. I wonder. Jackson, you get one swear word. Say it.
Frick.
All right, well, I'm going to have to censor that.
Yeah, oh my God, dude.
Sorry.
That's so offensive.
It's the first word
you can't say that word.
I'm sorry.
The first word that came to mind?
Where is your mind at, bud? In the gutters.
Maybe I am a monster.
Where are your minders at, huh? Your mind manners.
This is some interesting news. A Rubik's Cube movie is coming. What do you guys think it's going to be about? A Rubik's Cube?
I hope it's just like a couple hours of a Rubik's Cube animation just solving itself over and over again.
I think it'd be better if it's like a really poorly iPhone shot just due to this just... No, that's the wrong way.
It's just a compilation. It's just a compilation of speedrunners who do Rubik's Cubes.
That's what I was thinking. It's going to be like a movie like McFarland USA where like some coach comes in and like trains some kid to be really quick at Rubik's Cubes. And he like goes and enters like a national Rubik's Cube competition. And then there's just like intense music as they're like solving it.
And then halfway through, one of the main competitors' family, one of them dies and everyone's sad.
Yeah, one of them dies and he's like, the Rubik's Cube is the only thing that's making me forget or something.
He quits the competition and then the coach comes by.
His mom died because he was focusing on Rubik's Cubes
instead of treating her cancer.
Yeah, and he's like, I can't do this. And then the coach comes by and he's like, you think your mom wouldn't want you to compete in this Rubik's Cube competition right now? And he's like, you're right. Let's do this.
He reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a note. This is from your mother. He opens the note. Do the Rubik's Cube thing.
You're welcome. We wrote the
Rubik's Cube. That's a good movie right there.
Right there. A movie we did not see, and I don't really have plans on seeing it after like seeing the trailers and everything. Netflix is developing a sequel to Robert Rodriguez's We Can Be Heroes. That was a Lava Girl and Shark Boy sequel. Could have used a little Wonder Woman, if I'm being honest, but
so they're doing a sequel to the sequel again?
Yes, but
it's
gonna be called We Can Be Heroes 2, which I hope is like We Can Be Heroes TOO. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you know what I mean? Like the number, the preposition.
It hasn't come out yet, has it?
It came out January 1st.
It has. I don't want to watch it.
I'm not watching it. There's some things we want to
reviews. Like, I literally heard nothing about it.
Well, we're not talking about it either.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
In an interview with MTV News, Tessa Thompson confirmed that Michael B. Jordan would be making his directorial debut with Creed 3.
I just want to say before good we continue him. With that. That was like eloquently spoken right there, Camden. You like took a breath, swallowed all your spit, just everything crystal clear.
I was really ready for that one.
You should try harder next time.
Maybe don't sound like you're chewing Jackson. Metal. Like that was terrible.
Oh.
Do better or get
that's the metal in my mouth.
Ah.
Yeah.
From that time I made you
it's
eat
it's airplane
metal.
Parts. No, I just bit an airplane.
Yum. Joseph Gordon-Levitt has been rumored to be meeting with Marvel.
Wait, we didn't talk about the last bit of news at all. We just talked about how I said it and then moved on.
Yeah, no, that was the joke.
Okay.
I was doing that intentionally.
Oh, well, it wasn't that funny.
Well, you laughed, didn't you?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt has been rumored to be meeting with Marvel Studios. What's he doing that for? I don't know.
Yeah. Stop. Hey, get out of here. Get out of here, Joseph.
Remember when he played a dude in the Dark Knight movies and they're like, oh, you should use your middle name more. I like it. Robin. What?
Yeah.
I really don't like The Dark Knight Rises, clever. But we'll get into
Dan,
that
if
later.
You really think about it, that's clever.
It's a very subtle acknowledgement of Batman's lesser-known sidekick, Robin, you know.
Yeah.
He was a short time-lived character that's still making several comics today, movies, whatever.
He was apparently in The Last Jedi.
Probably a stormtrooper.
He was a voice of... Oh my god. Slow and Low. I have no idea who that is.
Slow and Low. That is the tempo.
Slow and Low.
I don't think that's how the song goes.
He's the dude that's like, hey, they parked their ship over there and I told them they couldn't.
Oh, our favorite character?
Yeah, Slow and Low. He's a male Abednego.
There's only so much I can handle talking about The Last Jedi. Especially something Abednego. Like this. I don't care. Who do you think he's going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I think he's going to be himself as a cameo.
I think he's going to be Slow and Low.
Like Spider-Man swinging through New York and he's like, look out, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And he rolls out of the way and goes, thanks, Spider-Man.
Yeah. He's going to say his full name too. Look out, Joseph Gordon-Levitt from Star Wars The Last Jedi, who played Slow and Low, the voice.
Your most famous role. He goes, thank you for being a fan. Chris Evans is possibly returning to the MCU as Captain America. But will it be the same Cap we know and love? Probably not. Unless he's old Captain America.
Zombie Captain America. Yo. Zombie.
He's gonna replay the Human Torch.
Dude.
In a Fantastic Four.
They're actually gonna recreate the Captain America movies shot by shot. Nothing will be different.
And they call it Captain America 4.
It'll just be like 10 years in the future.
Yeah. Now we're in the 60s.
How long has it been since the first Avenger?
The first Avenger? You mean year-wise or like in universe-wise? Year-wise,
yeah. No, year-wise.
I don't know. I think it came out in 2011. So that would be...
10 years.
10 years ago. It's time for Captain America 4, guys.
Could you imagine spending like an eighth of your life just doing a movie franchise?
I can't imagine that actually, because I do it all the time.
You're not an actor, Camden.
I was about to say that's
really?
Kind of what.
Watch this, Jackson. I like you a lot. Acting right there, everybody.
You deserve
acting.
An Oscar.
I believed it. I believed it.
Thank you. Breaking news. New set photos reveal a slightly updated Spidey suit for Tom Holland's third installment. That's not all, though. Charlie Cox was reportedly seen on the set of Spider-Man 3, but it is yet to be seen if Cox will be playing the lawyer Matt Murdock or his costumed counterpart.
Daredevil for
those two. Yeah, no, I understand who Daredevil is. Thanks, Daniel.
I didn't. Thank you.
Guys, everyone, let's take a minute. Charlie Cox.
Nice. Whoever named him that? Oh my god, Charlie is such a stupid
god.
What name.
An idiot. Wait, you know how last names are supposed to be like based off of what you did, like what your job was?
Yeah.
Like thousands of years ago. What was his job?
He worked for Cox, the internet company.
Oh, that's actually that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, thanks, Jackson. You really know it all.
Who? Can you imagine that meeting? They're like, "Hey, we want someone to like combat against all these other internet providers." Nice. I like the energy. What are you guys thinking of? We're thinking of something strong, hard, and massive that can really just consume the internet empire. What are you thinking of calling it? Oh, you're going to love it. Get a load of Cox.
Oh, my God. You guys, the name was actually derived from the word cock.
Oh.
Yeah. It means...
Hey, you can't say that on air.
From the... Cox means from the Red Hills, and cock meant the red. It was from Wales.
Okay, so now I don't feel bad that my is red. I was worried for a while.
Wales gave him his name? That's sick. Imagine just like going into the ocean and there's a fucking whale and it's like, you will be called Cox.
No, Jackson.
But let's look at the
animals. I want to go whale watching now. Can we take a Roomies movies whale watching trip?
Not sure. We'll do that. We'll do that later. Okay.
We'll live stream it. Oh my gosh, we can go live on our Instagram, everyone.
And our Twitter.
And our Instagram.
That's dumb, though.
And our Facebook.
I hate Twitter stories.
We should get a Facebook. No.
How are we going to attract the older audiences?
Yeah. Honestly? No.
I mean, well.
But let's focus on
like maybe though.
The Spider-Man 3 costume. It looks almost identical to Far From Home, but there are slight updates to it. I think that this new suit that we've seen set images of looks really nice. I think the lack of like detail covering all the red looks nice, to seeing a whole sharp red near his waistline.
Yeah.
There's not much else that they changed. I'm pretty sure that was it, but
It looks cool.
I like it. Just open. Hopefully.
Is there any reason they're not gonna like go back to the blue at all?
I'm sure they will.
I mean, like, I like it, but like, why?
I'm sure they're just gonna go back to the. He's probably gonna get a new suit in this one, if I'm being serious. Like a completely brand new.
Do you think he's ever gonna wear the Iron Spider again?
Probably not, because Iron Man's dead. Ah, spoilers.
Dude, I haven't seen the movies. Which Iron Man movie does that happen in?
Iron Man 1.
Oh, man. Oh,
okay.
Well, at least I know what to expect now.
Loki Season 2 is reportedly confirmed, but the first season hasn't actually released yet. How do you guys think that's going to go?
It must be really bad, and they're like, maybe the second season will wipe over it. That's the only reason they continue a show. Is if
that,
it's
or they're going to leave us on a cliffhanger, and they needed that. They needed a second
big old cliffhanger.
Like Loki's hanging on a cliff. Wonder how this is going to end next season. And looks at the camera.
I'm going to place my bets now on what the cliffhanger is. Okay. Loki is lactose intolerant, and at the end of the last episode, we see him. He doesn't know that he's doing it, but he drinks a glass of milk, and then he goes, and then it ends.
No. Okay, but you have to remember, he's the god of mischief. So even though that's the cliffhanger, he's going to come out season 2, episode 1, and be like, tricked you guys.
I didn't drink any milk.
I'd like to think that the company choir recital is coming out soon, and they do an Iron Man 1 post-credit scene where the band director's standing there, and he looks at Loki, and he goes like, I need a bass. For what? To sing the Loki. And then the ends are picked up next season. We could be writers.
That's good.
We could be writers.
Yeah, we really could. We really could.
Moon Knight cinematographer Gregory Middleton confirmed that Oscar Isaac is set to play Moon Knight himself, which is actually really awesome. I love Oscar Isaac as an actor.
That's pretty cool.
So seeing him have such a cool character. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be interesting. And I really am glad that they confirmed right off the bat. They're like, all these TV shows and everything are going to interweave with the movies coming out. So we might not ever get a Moon Knight movie, but we might see Moon Knight in another movie, like in Avengers or something, which is super cool.
Yeah. Well, Danian, did you know that Marvel also has cast Ethan Hawke as the villain in Moon Knight?
I wonder who's going to be playing Day? Sunday.
What?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Now we have to wonder if he's going to be like a guy who controls the sun, or if he's an ice cream based supervillain.
You know, that's a tough one. And if he's an ice cream based supervillain, he can always lead into the Loki show, and he gives Loki ice cream because, you know, he's lactose intolerant.
Oh my gosh, another twist. Another one of our classic twists.
Guys, we're literally so good better at this. Than the Russo brothers. We should just take over their positions. It would
move
be
over,
hard, right?
Russo's brothers. It's time for the... None of our names even sound close to Russo's.
The Roomy brothers.
Roomy sisters. Brothers.
Oh.
Kevin Fugler confirmed.
You can't say that!
is it Feige or
Feige.
That last name sucked. Wait, Feige?
Feige. How did you just forget that?
Alright. Shut the fuck up, asshole. Kevin Feige confirmed Deadpool 3 will take place in the MCU and will be rated R. That's not surprising.
Awesome. No, because they weren't sure if they were ever going to make it Deadpool.
Oh, they weren't sure about that. Yeah, okay.
So now it's confirmed, dude. That's big news, dude. That's the biggest news drop we've ever had.
It's so big that you didn't capitalize.
Wait, when did
he
confirm this?
Feige's name.
Feige. Yeah, you're close. You're
I will
gonna
never
get
that right for as long as I live.
What do you guys want to see in a Deadpool 3? I did not mean to make that rhyme.
Pool full of dead people.
Wow, you have
a pool, preferably deceased. and maybe even three of them.
I'd say a group of dead people that are all in the running to get grabbed for an award. A pool, if you will. A pool of people who happen to be dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Preferably three of them for three different awards.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
A Deadpool 3.
I hope that it's pretty much like the same that they've been doing. They've been doing a good job with the Deadpool movies, I think.
I just can't wait to see him interact with the MCU. I don't even care if no other superheroes are in it.
I don't know how that's going to go.
I think he's just going
to... The MCU is like so not self-aware, you know?
I think it's going to be less script-based things where he'd go like, wait, that's not how the script goes. He'd just make more references to things rather than breaking...
Probably.
Yeah. Than breaking like the movie. I think he's probably going to be like...
He just talks to Captain America. He's like, you're a comic book character. And Captain America's like,
what?
What are you talking about?
It's like the thing where the second they find out, their like brain starts melting. Hey, She-Hulk. Yeah? What's it feel like being a comic book character?
Huh? What?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Like they all just become existential. You know what else is existential, Camden? Morbius's release date has been postponed until October 8th. 2021. I think a Halloween release is much better for a dude that is literally called the Living Vampire. What do you think?
How is this existential?
I just needed the segue.
Oh, okay.
How is this a Halloween release? It's literally like 3 months before Halloween.
October?
3 weeks, not months. Sorry. Weeks. I meant weeks.
Oh, Jackson, you goof.
Boom! Boom!
That's the most annoying thing you can do to someone when they're wrong. Boom. Boom. I just meant to boom. You want to say anything else about
Matt
a calendar?
Matt Damon is joining the cast of Thor Love and
Thunder. You want to say that again?
No, it's Kevin's turn.
Oh.
Matt Damon has joined the cast of Thor Love and Thunder.
Impressive.
Cool. Awesome.
Well,
sounds good.
Well, remember, he was like the fake Loki in Thor Ragnarok when they had the play. Like,
yeah.
So I wonder if he's going to be a completely different character.
They can't do that. That would ruin the continuity, and I would complain.
I mean, Josh Brolin is Thanos and Cable, so I mean.
Yeah, but they're not, like, he's just the voice actor for Thanos.
What if Matt Damon is just the voice actor for someone else?
Thor.
I mean, yeah, I guess that could happen.
Yeah, so why did you say you couldn't believe it, huh?
Because you said, I hope he's going to play a completely different character.
Yeah.
Implying that he was, like, playing that character, not voicing that character. I win. Boom! Boom!
I can take a crack at this one if you don't want to do it.
Jesse. Oh, my God.
Tell me
just,
why.
I was just waiting for this.
Why do I have to say
tell
Kevin Feige?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Sound the alarm. All
right, let's go. Yeah! Kevin Feige's Star Wars film taps Marvel Studios' Loki writer. What does taps mean? I'm sorry, I don't...
They got. They're like, hey, you wrote for us. Come over here.
Okay. Kevin Feige's Star Wars film taps Marvel Studios' Loki writer, Michael Waldron? God, let me try this again. God, there's so many things.
Feige.
Why are you laughing? Stop laughing.
Feige. You said Feige. It's Feige.
It's Feige. It hasn't changed. We're not going to change it on you. It's still Feige.
This name just defies all rules of English that I know, dude.
Just, you got it, man. We believe
no other name has like messed me up this much in my life. All right. Here we go. Kevin Feige's Star Wars film taps Marvel Studios' Loki writer. Right. Did I f*** up again? All right, that's it. I'm quitting the show. Goodbye, guys.
Oh,
say it again. What is it supposed to be?
Kevin
Reynolds. Reynolds.
Kevin? Okay. Jackson, this is all you have to say. Kevin Feige's Star Wars film taps Marvel Studios' Loki writer, Michael Waldron, for the galactic installment.
Wait, how did I even mess that last one up?
You said Rydell.
You said Rydell instead of writer.
Yeah, but you guys were laughing before that.
Because you thought you were going to mess up Feige again.
Kevin Feige.
I realized this because I looked at Kevin. I saw you guys laughing. Feige. Holy shit. You guys are terrible.
Okay, you got this one, man. We believe in you.
Kevin Feige's Star Wars film taps Marvel Studios Loki writer Michael Waldron for the Galactic installment. What a mouthful.
Which movie is this for?
Honestly, I don't even care about news at this point. The fact that we got the sentence out is all that matters.
Yeah, agree. Okay.
John Wick writer is aiming to pen the Dungeons & Dragons live-action TV series, not the movie we talked about in last episode.
Mm.
I hope that they have to make every actual character within the game have to roll for everything. Like, they get, like, Dave Bautista to be a barbarian or something. And he goes, like, a dragon! Six, damn it. And then just gets hit by something.
I wonder, is it going to be, like, funny or is it going to be serious?
I feel like
it has to be.
They have to put some jokes in there.
Yeah.
Like, they can't make it a serious... Ooh, Dungeons and Dragons.
Ooh, spooky. That's just like an adventure series. Yeah. Like, that's not Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I want to have some.
There better be some dungeons and hopefully some dragons. I'm really hoping for the dragons.
I actually hope if they do something where they have like a group of people playing a game and then their characters are played by completely different actors.
Oh, like the Jumanji thing.
Jumanji thing, maybe. You know what I mean?
I never saw that, but. Thing.
You get what I mean. If we could get a Danny DeVito or two in there, I'd like that.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah. Hey, Dana, quick question. How much money do you have in your bank account right now?
Want me to just give you the last four digits?
Of how much money you have?
No. The last four digits. Zero, because
that
zero,
really wouldn't tell me
zero,
much.
Zero.
Jackson, how much money do you have in your bank account?
At least $3. Maybe four.
Well, why don't you guys have $188 billion like Elon Musk? Because he's now the richest person in the world. Did you know that?
The actor Elon Musk?
That's why I talked
about
this.
Wait, are you guys talking about the actor
Elon
Musk?
Yeah, the actor from Iron Man. Yeah.
Because, you know, this doesn't make sense because this isn't movie news or reviews, Danon. What the hell is this doing on our show?
Hey. But no, it's because it's funny joke after. Ready? But why isn't he Batman?
He could be Batman.
That was the joke.
Wait, no,
that's why
Travis
movies.
Scott. Travis Scott is
or
Batman.
Iron Man.
Travis Scott can't be Batman.
Okay, yeah, good point. Good point.
The public wouldn't take it. They got really mad at him for making a genuine.
We'd never know.
I don't know if he had if he had the same costume he had for Halloween. I'm pretty sure we'd be like, yeah, that's Travis Scott right there.
I think that's Travis Scott.
I'm 90% sure that's the costume he wore. That's weird.
I mean, he's doing a great job, but that's still Travis Scott.
100%. And then Travis Scott has a press conference. I am not, nor have I ever been, in relations to the Batman character. That's Travis Scott's Batman. That's just a done deal.
Mm. That'd be awesome.
And now for what is possibly the saddest news that has happened in 2021 so far.
Mm-hmm.
Twitch has removed the PogChamp emote. For those of you who don't know, PogChamp got... very popular across all platforms, not just Twitch, last year. Not even last year, the year before that. I use it every day. I say PogChamp. I say Poggers. Camden says Poggers. Say it, Camden.
I say Pog.
Pog.
Poggers.
It's just a way
I'm
of...
Not, I'm not ashamed to say it. To say it, okay?
Here on Umi's Talking Movies, we do not discriminate. We're all Poggers.
We're all poggers.
We're taking back that emote. We're taking it back.
Just because someone took it away from us does not mean we can take it away from everyone else in our lives. So go out there
you
today.
Know what? We can all pog be a little bit poggers. If everyone just makes the pog face, we'll never know who the true pog face is.
And if we're all pogging, is there ever such thing as a loss of pog? Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, the giant David Hasselhoff model from this SpongeBob SquarePants movie is up for auction, measuring 14 feet long. I put in a bid. Apparently, $5 was not enough.
Isn't it going for
14 feet
at least
long?
$40,000 right now?
$5 didn't even make it into the running.
Apparently, No. Okay, we're missing the point. It's 14 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
For an animated movie.
Yeah.
Where they could have just made it like 3 feet long and then animated SpongeBob and Patrick to be like small.
But that wouldn't have
you
looked
make
as real.
A really good point. Yeah, it's $1 million.
Holy shit.
That's perfect.
I think if we all pool our money and maybe ask Elon Musk for a loan, we might get $1 million. Hey, Camden,
if we Deadpool 3 all of our money together? That's a PogChamp moment right there. All right, let's go right to the
PogChamp. Guys, whenever something good happens on the podcast, it's a PogChamp.
No.
Potters. Pod.
Camden, your paycheck is actually going from $0 to you have to start paying us money to be here, bud.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's actually a privilege to work with us.
I already signed the contract for this season, though. You can't change it like that.
I can.
What? In the contract, it said you couldn't. No.
Page 2 literally is just me writing in crayon, I can do whatever I want to your money.
Okay, well, I didn't know there were more than one page, okay?
That's because I only gave you the first page.
Okay, that's illegal.
I'm 23 years old, and sometimes I wonder if life was wasted on me.
So a trailer came out this week for Cherry. And no, it's not an origin story about the fruit. Apparently, it's this Russo Brothers movie following Tom Holland, goes off the war, comes back, starts robbing banks. But he's got that Tom Holland charm, he says. Rule number one, most time girls are at the counter when you're at a bank, so be polite. He says, excuse me, ma'am, I have a gun.
Excuse me, ma'am.
I'm going to shoot you in the face now.
I just have to threaten your life.
I did like the opening bit where he like slid the dollar and it said, I have a gun, but it was upside down. So he had to fix it and then slide it back. And then he had second dollar that said, this is a robbery. And you're like, you're just wasting money right now. Stop writing on the money.
Really counterintuitive.
You're missing something. It wasn't a second dollar. He just flipped the same dollar around.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a felony.
Yeah, writing on money? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Defacing government property? Wow.
No, but if you think about it, it's a worth investment. You're ruining $1 to get like hundreds of thousands in return.
But you're also robbing a bank, Jackson, and we can't ignore the fact that that's slightly illegal.
Wait, so robbing a bank isn't like a good business model?
No. And that's kind of why rob a bank went out of business.
Darn, you hate to see it.
But do you hate to see Cherry? Apparently it's coming out within the next few months. Maybe we'll have a review, maybe not.
On Apple TV, right?
We're not going to have a review for it because none of us have Apple TV.
Oh, as it turns out, I do have Apple TV.
We're going to give you a review because we have Apple TV.
If it's good. I don't know how much longer I have it for, but I have it. I think for like a couple more months. That's so hopefully good. The show doesn't go longer than that.
It's a movie.
I thought it said limited series.
No, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
Well, I'm going to fact check you.
Fact check it.
It's a movie.
Yeah, shut up.
It's a movie.
You know what's not a movie, Camden? Our next segment. We got to go into the black and white sound effects.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time.
With a new series coming to Disney Plus, there also comes a new segment in Roomies Talking Movies where we will do a brief weekly review on which episode is revealed. For right now, we're going to be talking about the new series, WandaVision. Now, Jackson, why don't you explain to our lovely listeners what WandaVision is all about?
All right.
Just a base summary. I don't want you to give the entire movie like you did with Santa Claus 3.
The show, we don't really know a lot about it. We're kind of just put in this, like, 50s scene. It's all black and white. And Wanda and Vision have just moved into a house. They seem to have their powers. Wanda can still, like, make things fly. Vision can, like, you know, go through walls and stuff. That seems to be about it. Anyways, the first episode is kind of laid back. Vision has his boss coming over for dinner. Wanda thinks it's their anniversary. So there's a bunch of, like, you know, cute little 50s show things that happen, like, oh my gosh, the food isn't ready, and then she accidentally throws lobster out the window, like a casual person, right? Like,
yeah,
that happens to you guys, right?
But then, in spoiler territory, they are sitting down with their boss, and then what happens, Jackson?
And then what happens? The boss chokes. The boss's wife keeps saying,
oh, knock it off. Like, on repeat, she will not stop saying that until Vision reaches into his throat, like, you know, like through his throat, because he can just phase through people, and grabs the thing that's choking him. And you're like, wait a minute, that isn't normal human behavior. Something's afoot. And then that's kind of where the episode ends.
What seemed odd about that is when everything was glitching and everything, Wanda said, Vision, help. And then he did it. But nothing was happening except for glitching. Which gives us the sneaky suspicion that maybe Wanda's in control of this. But then what happens in episode two... I think
Wanda
two,
caused him to choke, though.
Yeah, I think that might have been it. Because guess what happens... Because
she looked at him and went... In case for your the audio listeners of this podcast, which is all of you, I blinked. She did like a forceful blink towards him and they started choking.
But what happens in episode two, Cameron?
Well, in episode two, you know, same premise. They're still new in the neighborhood.
But a decade
later, this time,
now they're in the 50s.
Are they really? I didn't pick up on
that
at all.
Yeah, their hairstyle and everything changed slightly. I thought they were in the same decade too, but looked it up. Apparently 40s and 50s.
So are they like jumping forward every... That makes sense, actually. That makes sense that they're like jumping each episode. Anyways, still in the same neighborhood, same characters, all that jazz, and they want to get more involved in the neighborhood, you know? So Wanda goes off with her neighbor to like an HOA meeting with Dottie. That's her name, right? Mm-hmm. And Vision goes to like a neighborhood watch meeting, basically. And they each get into their own shenanigans, but at the end of the episode, they need to meet up and perform in the neighborhood's talent show, and they perform a magic act. But uh-oh, Vision's got some gummies in his tummies, and he can't act right, so he starts using his real powers for magic, and Wanda has to use her powers to make it look like fake magic so no one suspects anything. And then the ending of the episode is really weird. I think I get it.
Another break in the system.
But basically... Yeah, throughout the episode, there were a couple breaks in the system. Like, in the beginning, a red helicopter fell in their front yard in the bush.
But everything is filmed in black and white within the first two episodes.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the episode, they go outside because they think they hear the wind rustling around again like they did in the beginning of the episode. But uh-oh, it's a dude, it's a beekeeper, climbing out of the sewer grate, which was really weird. And then Wanda goes, no. And then they rewind, and they have a happy ending instead. Another hint that Wanda's in control.
But
and then, color! They get into color.
Now the thing I have to ask, I want to throw this one out there. Would it please the board if I threw something out there?
Yeah.
Board is pleased.
I think that something's going on. We were meant to believe that Wanda's in control. But in actuality, Wanda's trying to control whatever thing she's in. Like, she didn't create it.
Yeah, I think it's like in self-defense. There's got to be like some higher power.
Yeah, I don't think Wanda is in control of this kind of thing. Because in episode two, Jimmy Woo from Ant-Man and the Wasp, the Asian FBI agent, super funny dude, you can hear him calling to her. But it wasn't like a Wanda, you have to stop this. It's like, Wanda, can you hear me kind of thing. Like, maybe she's
stuck.
It's like,
who's doing this to you?
Yeah, that's actually what he says. He says something along the lines of, like, who's doing this to you? What's going on? Kind of thing. So I really believe that Wanda's trapped from some thing. Maybe it's a new villain we haven't met. Maybe it's someone that we know from the past that we just haven't known yet. And Wanda's trying to control everything that's happening, but someone else put her there. So that's where these glitches are coming from.
Yeah.
And it seems like some people want to get her out while other people are trying to keep her in. And there's my TED Talk. Thank you for coming. What did we think about the first two episodes? Did we like it?
There were
I liked it. It's a slow burn for sure.
In some ways.
Yeah.
And like, not so much.
Not much was revealed in the first two episodes. Just enough to get you interested, but not enough to like let you know what's going on with the whole show.
If you're on the fence about this series, I'd say wait a week or two, so that way there's... like three or four episodes to binge at once so you could really see a big change within it, because right now it's one of those slow burns. But I don't think it's going to be like a Schitt's Creek where it takes half a season for it to get interesting. And it's more of like a, okay, this is what's happening in the third episodes, because they only have like 9 episodes to do everything, so.
Yeah.
They're going to have to start picking it up.
Yeah, it'll pick up soon, but for now, just give it a little bit if you haven't seen it yet, I think.
Was there anything we didn't like about it?
No, I don't think there's anything like I didn't necessarily like about it.
How did the lobster go out the door, out the window, and then appear on the front door?
Inconsistent lobster. I hate it.
Inconsistent lobster. That's something that movies really need to watch out for.
I think it's probably to show that she's like, it's not like a real TV show, and it's like more of like a simulation that maybe glitched or something.
Oh, maybe they weren't expecting her to throw a lobster out the window. But actually, it's like a sign for the audience, like, this is not how it should have been. Like, maybe Wanda thinks that she's in a TV show, but in actuality...
Maybe.
I don't know. I guess we're going to...
I guess we'll find out.
That one Rick and Morty episode. You know, the one where, like, they're in the simulation, and the simulation keeps building itself around them, but then, like, Rick outsmarts
them. Oh, Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, you didn't hear what I said?
I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, it could be that.
It might be. But do you want to take any wild guesses, or do you want to wait another week and then we take our guess on who the bad guy is?
Wolverine.
I think I'm going to have to.
All right.
No, I'm agree with Jackson, actually. I changed my answer. Wolverine.
Okay, so Wolverine's the bad guy. I'm going to hold my guess until next week, where we'll have episode 3 as a short review. But for now, it's time to put a little soul into this podcast. That's the next movie.
Danon has no soul, everyone.
Time to review Soul. All right. Camden, while I go take a pee, why don't you give us a summary of Soul?
All right. I'm going to do that. But first, I need the character's name because I forgot.
That was kind of like a segue for you to pull up a little summary and just go through it real quick. Like what you did with the Santa Claus.
I thought I was going to do it while you were gone.
Yeah, you can do that. I'm just saying, figure it out.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll
you're going to take a fat piss.
Okay. Well, Jackson, since it's just you and me now. What's his name?
You and me, let's call Danon bad things. Like a dummy and an idiot head.
His name is Joe. Okay, now I'm ready to give my summary.
What was the soul's name? Soul 22?
22. 22. Yep. So, Joe is a middle school band teacher, I would presume. They look like they're in middle school, not high school. He has a passion for music and he wants to be a performer, but... he can never really catch a break. He can't catch a gig. And his life is basically pretty sad. His mom wants him to take a full-time teaching job instead of just teaching part-time like he has been for years. But he really wants to be a performer when suddenly his big break comes when one of his students calls him and says, hey, Mr. What was his name? Mr. G or something?
Yeah, Mr. G, I think.
I forget what he called him. They called him Mr. G because he was his teacher before. And his student is now like a really big performer who performs with Dorothea Williams, I think is what her name was. And he's like, our pianist is out for the night, so we need you to fill in if you want to. And he's like, oh my gosh, I get to perform. I get to live out my dreams. But he doesn't tell his mom because he doesn't think his mom will approve. And so he goes there, he practices with them, and Dorothea Williams is like, you're in, buddy. And he's like, sick. And so on his way home, he's walking. He's not really paying attention to anything. He's being really reckless. He avoids a lot of near-death experiences, and right when you don't see it coming, he falls down a manhole, and he dies.
Literally dies.
Like, literally dies.
Dies within, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie, and they show it in a Disney movie. They just go, oh, he's dead. Now, I think that's a good little segue from there. We'll build as we talk about it, because we don't want to spoil all the things. First things first, this is the most visually appealing Pixar movie I have ever
seen. It's so good. It looks so good.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
When he first enters the soul world, I legitimately like was speechless. Like I felt it in my chest. I was like, I can't even fathom what I'm looking at right now. And for us to describe it would be disingenuous to what they created.
Like, you just need to watch the movie. Like it looks beautiful.
Personally, for me, it's my favorite Pixar movie. It beats out up by that much. I think it's fantastic.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I really, really, really liked it. I'm a little dissatisfied with the end, I'll be honest.
Well, we'll talk about the
end. But we can get into that.
Jackson, what do you think? Where do you put this on your Pixar?
Cars. Cars is the best
Pixar movie. All right, well, let's just get into the good.
Cars 3.
Car-
I like Cars 2 because there were spies and Mater.
I saw this funny TikTok, and it was like, here's the true way to watch the Cars movies. And it was like, Cars 1, Cars 2, the boy in the striped pajamas, and Cars 3. I just thought that was funny.
I really think it's an important film to watch to really understand the mythos of the Cars movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
it makes sense.
But
so moving on forward in the plot, Joe really doesn't want to die because, you know, he just finally got his performance of a lifetime. So he starts running backwards on what is essentially an escalator to the great beyond. And he tries to find a way out. He tries jumping off, and he basically glitches through the side and falls down through a portal into, what is it, the Great Before?
Yes.
Is that what they call it?
Great Before.
Really original names, Pixar.
Yeah, this movie sucks.
So he's in the Great Before, and basically the Great Before is a place where all the souls obtain all of their personality traits and, like, interests and, like, passions and their spark. And once they have achieved, I think it's all six of those traits, they get their Earth Pass and they're able to go down to Earth and become a baby and they're born. Or maybe they become a robot. It's not really clear whether or not they have to be human or not. So Joe gets caught up in some shenanigans in there. Obviously, he's not supposed to be there. And he puts on someone else's name tag and becomes a mentor, which is basically famous people who try to mentor people who can't find their spark or souls that can't find their spark. And that's where he meets 22. Let's talk about 22 for a moment.
It's an underrated Taylor Swift song. Definitely top three in her repertoire.
So good. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Speaking of 22, there's also a character in Soul named 22.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how many... No, I can't say that.
So 22 is a reference to what soul number 22 is. So we can assume that 22 has been there for quite some time. Yeah, thanks, Jackson.
Thank you, Jackson. I was a little lost, but now that we have everything.
And I'm dialed in now. They were like in the billions, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But 22.
Because there's how many people on Earth? There's 7 billion people on Earth right now. So
I think they said,
imagine how many people of all time.
I think this is something like 120 billion was like the newest number, which I think was up to date with like the national.
That's interesting. Like the, because that kind of ruins my theory that we were going to get into later. But
okay, well,
you know, whatever.
Sorry,
it's just ruined now. Sorry, it's no big deal.
Don't say it then.
So 22 does not want to go to Earth. She is a relentless soul who cannot find her spark. I'm assuming she's a she, right?
Yeah, probably.
We're all good with that.
Voiced by Tina Fey. So I mean.
Yeah, so
we'll refer to she.
I guess the souls technically don't have genders, but for ease of the show, we'll refer to her as a she. 22 can't find her spark, or rather doesn't really want to find her spark. She can't find it in the Hall of Everything, which has everything that ever has or will existed on Earth. And Joe is trying to help her out and is trying to get her Earth Pass, so that way he can use it to go back to Earth and get in his body, and she can stay up in the Great Before forever. They realize that she can't find her spark and they have to find a different way to get to Earth. So they come across some like hippies in what is that place called? That zone?
AutoZone?
The Twilight Zone.
The AutoZone.
So they
it's
get
like
in the
when
zone.
You're in the zone, there's like a place where you like kind of exist
like,
for a moment.
Like when you're like when an athlete's playing basketball or when someone's playing an instrument really well. Or like for some people, some dudes just J&O in the background.
Mm. So there are these people who can meditate and enter that zone and like move around freely there. And they free souls, like lost souls, I think they're called, who basically get too entranced in what they're doing that they like kind of like lose sight of their purpose. And they help them do a ritual to get back into Joe's body. But uh-oh, Joe gets too excited, jumps in, does it wrong, and he ends up in a cat's body, and 22 ends up in his body.
Now let's take a break
here. You can imagine the shenanigans that go on there.
Let's look at the soul world real quick. Beautiful. Visually interesting. I think that the people who are in charge of everything, it was a really like bold and odd choice to make them like wireframe characters. Where
oh, I like
it's almost exclusively a silhouette. Nothing is filled within the inside. And their entire being
I like
can
to
fall
believe
within
it's because
dimensional kind of thing.
I think it's because they actually exist in dimensions that we can't see, but because we can't see those dimensions, they look two-dimensional.
Mm. Like the sixth dimension.
Randy was my favorite character.
Perhaps.
I think his name's Randy, right?
Who?
Randy.
Is that the one that's a dick?
He wasn't a dick.
He's like, my council, I'm funny. Randy. I like Randy.
Who played him, by the way?
Randy was played by the grandma from Moana. That's not even lying. Not look it up.
No.
Yeah, buddy. I'll wait.
I won't.
I can't. Soul is just such a vague name that I can't find the movie.
You could look up Randy Soul, voice actor. Or in this case, it would be voice actress, because...
Are we sure his name is Randy? Because I'm not finding him anywhere.
Jackson's never been wrong before in his life, so...
Is it Alan?
That's...
Terry.
Terry.
Oh, Terry, not Randy.
Terry.
Terry.
Played by Rachel House.
That's a funny one.
Yeah.
It is. It's played by a woman.
Yeah, it's played by the same person who...
That is really interesting. And you're right. She did play the grandma in Moana.
Why would I lie about that?
Because you're weird.
Okay, well, that was...
Didn't fool by about a lot of strange things.
That's not true. Guys, also, I can fly. Watch.
Oh, my God. He's flying. That's
he's
crazy.
Flying. Holy crap.
All right.
Nice save, Jackson.
Moving on to basically the climax of the story. 22, believe it or not, finds her spark on Earth in Joe's body through all the little things on Earth, so she couldn't really know what living on Earth was like until she already did it, which is kind of ironic. But they... meet up with the guy on Earth who they met in the zone, and he allows them to get out of those bodies, I think. Is that what happens?
Yes.
Right?
It's the same ritual, but to reverse it.
Yeah, and so then they go back up, and suddenly 22 has her...
Wait, no, they get captured by Terry.
Yeah, but that's like a 20-second thing. That, like, doesn't...
No, they get captured by Terry, and they have to go back. They're back in the soul realm.
You're right. That the ritual doesn't happen. They try and do the ritual, but then they get captured by Terry instead after 22 runs away because she doesn't want to leave Joe's body. And he, like, basically kills Joe and, like, removes their souls from them and puts them back to, like, where they belong. And they both go to the Great Before, I think, right? Don't they?
Back to the same place.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because why wouldn't Terry put him in the Great Beyond? Yeah. This is a very long movie. There's so much that happens. But Joe really wants to make it back in time to get to his performance. And so he realizes that 22 has her Earth Pass. And he was like, we made a deal. You have to give that to me. But she wants to go to Earth. But she's like, whatever. And like throws it at him. And
then she becomes a lost soul.
She becomes a lost soul, like, and then he goes, plays his whole recital thing, plays it awesome, plays it fantastically, and they're like, great job. And then one of the biggest lessons that he learns in the film, Joe himself, after he did it and he gets the gig and everything, he's part of the band, he's like, I thought I'd feel better about this. And then the main musician, she goes like, there's this story that goes, there's a fish who's swimming, and he says, I want to get to the ocean. Then one fish turns to him, and he's like, you're in the ocean. And then the fish says, no, this is water. I want to be in the ocean. Which is basically saying, just be happy, because no matter what you're looking forward to, you might have already experienced it to begin with. And sometimes don't put everything towards one specific thing, because that won't bring you happiness. And you're like, damn, that's deep. And then he goes back home and then plays the piano, and he's crying and everything. And then he goes back to the soul world because he's in the zone.
How does he get back there, by the way?
Because he's in the zone. Yeah. And then after he's in the auto zone, he goes with whatever his name is, Moon Crystal, to find 22. They capture her. Well, quote-unquote capture her. They kind of rescue her, pretty much. He goes through this big old dramatic scene where he sees everyone who's ever told 22 that she's terrible, useless. And at the end, Joe just goes, hey, you drop this. And he gives her the Earth Pass back. But
no,
in doing so...
No. The Earth Pass gets lost in her. Because like he's like in her. He hands her a seed from a tree.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
Yeah, was, the like, little the ones that like float down from trees.
Yeah.
That was, like,
yeah, it was like the little things
moments
that she collected on Earth. Yeah. This is a complicated movie. I think we're finding out.
Yeah, this is way more... Oof. This is way more of like an Inception level kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And so to speed things up here, basically he accompanies 20...
Huh?
He accompanies... What's happening?
What did Jackson say?
I don't know.
I have critiques once we're done
summarizing. Okay, then let me finish the summary. Joe accompanies her on her jump down to Earth, but he obviously can't go, but she doesn't want to go alone, so then they jump through the portal, and then Joe gets teleported back to the top while she goes to Earth and becomes her own soul, and then he goes to go on the escalator that takes him to the Great Beyond, and I forget what the name is, but like the people from the Great Before, like the gods, basically, goes, like, we thank you so much for finally allowing 22 to find her spark, so we're giving you, like, a second chance, basically, and they let him live again. And then, but he's like, I'm going to live my life, like, day by day or whatever. Like, he's, like, happy with his life, finally.
Yay. And everyone cried.
Yay.
Good job, Soul.
So what were you saying?
That movie had a lot of soul.
All right. What were you saying, Saxon?
You want me to say my critiques now?
What are your critiques on the movie Soul?
All right. First off, I don't know how you guys felt, but the whole, like, body switching thing was just, like, frustrating.
Unnecessary,
like,
almost?
It wasn't, like, unnecessary. It was basically showing,
frustrating,
like, how 22...
I don't agree, but my girlfriend, we watched it together, and she was so annoyed that whole scene. Like, she just, like, did not like it. Like,
yeah,
she was,
I didn't
just
like it that much either. But, like, it was, like,
she was
kind
just
of
like,
necessary.
Can we not do this right now? Yeah,
well,
I understand
without
why
it was
necessary,
would have been, like,
but
a 40-minute movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah, I just think it could have been handled a little bit differently.
Frustrating.
I'm not, like, a huge fan of, like, how it felt like it dragged on almost.
And the other thing is, like, my other critique is that movies like this tend to do a thing where they make the main character get a kind of, like, act out of character to progress the plot. And I think that his anger at 22, Joe's anger at 22, was just so out of character.
I agree, actually.
I'm going to defend Joe here, because imagine you worked your butt off or something, and then, like, your chance to get back, the one person who can help you do it is, like, complicit with things being the way they are. And you're like, I know it doesn't affect you at all, but I need to get it done. And then he was just kind of fed up.
He was, like, so okay with, like, taking the time and, like, you know, training her. And, like, he was actually, like, enjoying his time with her. And then all of a sudden, he turns against her.
Well, I think, like, it's because time works differently.
I guess it's
because
they kind of made, like, a deal.
Yeah. Also, we have no idea how time works in The Great Before, because maybe that was, like, 5 days, but to him it was, like, 20 seconds in the real world. But when he was, like, physically back on Earth and could see, like, oh, I have 20 minutes until my thing, then he became way more agitated, which I understand. Mm-hmm. We've all been there. We've switched bodies with a cat before.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I have a critique about the ending.
What is your critique about the ending? Spoilers for
I
those
don't
who
like
seen the
that
ending.
They we just said what happened. I don't like that he went back to being alive. I don't think that that should have been his ending. I think that once he helped 22 get back, he was content with who he had helped and what he had done with his life at that point. And I don't think that he needed, like, a second chance. You
know
what I mean?
Yeah, but they can't have him die in a Pixar movie.
I did. I didn't want him to die.
Yeah, I know. I know. I get it.
To be fair, this was probably the deadliest Pixar movie ever.
I think it went...
all those people going to the Great
Probably.
Beyond.
I think it handled the biggest, like, concept out of any of the movies. Because with Up, it's like, oh... Well, I mean, Up handled something similar, like our own mortality. But this is just the very... what makes someone want to live their life? And what makes life worth living? And then you just sit there. Whenever you think about that, no one's all just like, oh, here's the answer. You sit there and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought...
it did handle some pretty heavy topics, but I think they did a good job at that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I enjoy it, because it's such an, like, a morbid adult kind of thing to be like, hey, show this to your kids. They're going to have questions, but it's something that needs to be brought up.
Yeah.
All in all, what did you guys think about it? What do you give it out of 5 CGI cats buttholes from the movie Cats?
4.3.
I was going to give it a 4.75.
Really? I was going to give it a 4.5. I'll give it a 4.6. I'm feeling generous.
Okay. All right.
It was a good soul.
Those are pretty respectable scores. Really quickly, do we want to talk about how it fits into the Pixar theory?
No, not even a little bit. We'll deal with it later. I don't even know. I don't even want to know. All right. Let's get into the next movie. Okay, Camden, tell us in 2 sentences.
No.
Tell us in two sentences.
The Pixar theory deals with emotions and how emotions drive the life force. in Coco, when people die, they go to that place, like, there and have their first death. And the first death in Soul is the elevator to the Great Beyond. And your second death is the Great Beyond. And the second death in Coco is being forgotten. That's all. It basically explains how there's two different afterlives in the Pixar universe.
That's stupid.
Okay. All right. Whatever. I don't even care.
Wait, what did you say to Jackson when he messed up?
Boom.
Oh, that's cool. That's really interesting. Boom. Shut up. Now, the second movie we're going to be dealing with, don't worry, I will do a fantastically shorter summary because it really not much to gather. All right,
actually, buckle up. Can I take a crack at the summary?
You know what, Jackson? No, I'm kidding. Go right ahead, buddy.
We never see you take initiative, buddy. Go ahead.
I'm really sick of it, and I'm really sick of you. Go for it. Right. Give us the summary.
So there's Wonder Woman, right?
What?
And she's like an archaeologist person working in a museum, kind of? Anyways, there's a rock that got shipped to the
museum. What museum, Jackson?
Rock can grant wishes. She wishes for her dude back, her love interest from first movie.
Unintentionally, though.
Her co-worker wishes to be like her, and this big business oil dude steals the rock to get his wish, which is to become the rock. So he is now the wishing rock. He gets a bunch of people to make wishes. They get their wish, but he takes something from them in return, because that's actually how the wishing rock works. You get something, but you lose something. Uh-oh, Wonder Woman's losing her powers. Uh-oh, the person who asked to be like Wonder Woman is losing her humanity. And the world's going into chaos because this dude is literally just letting everyone make wishes. And also die. That's pretty much it. And then Wonder Woman stops him. It was great.
Honestly, I thought you were going to really do some weird things with that, but that's, you were pretty straightforward. The good. We'll say this a million times as long as Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. That is one of the biggest shining stars of the DCEU. That is one of the best castings they've done, because no matter how bad the movie is, her as Wonder Woman is always such a great part, because Gal Gadot...
I wasn't a fan of her acting in this movie.
What?
I think she was a little cynical in this movie.
Oh, yeah, no, that was totally kind of the point of this movie. But all I was just saying was that, like...
Yeah, but I didn't like it.
We'll get into that. I'm just saying Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman is great. That was...
Okay.
That flat. Can we all agree? Can the board agree?
Sure, I agree. I'll agree.
Yeah.
All right. Second thing. Pedro Pascal has been on quite a role in the past few years. Mandalorian, Narcos, Game of Thrones, now Wonder Woman 1984... He's okay.
Yeah, he's all right.
I didn't really like him in this movie, yeah.
It's not his fault. Like, you can tell Gal Gadot
and
Pedro Pascal and Kristen Wiig are all trying. Chris Pine, I mean, like, he is there, but I mean, like, it doesn't seem like he's... Like, they're really trying to sell the movie. But with that being said, let's get a little bit into the bat. Why is the center point of a movie a wishing stone?
That's,
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think that ever should have been a thing.
Even if it's in the comics, even if it's in her mythology, don't make wishes the center point unless it's Aladdin, okay? Those are the rules. Those are the rules. You don't get wishes unless you're Aladdin.
Those are the rules.
And there's just
what else was bad about this movie?
Wrong with it.
I think that the first opening sequence with Wonder Woman as a kid on Themyscira, like, doing her thing. Great. Why was it, like, 20 minutes? It was, like, it was a large amount of the movie to ultimately be,
hey, don't cheat.
Okay, Wonder Woman? And she's like, got it.
That opening scene amounted to nothing in the actual movie. The whole point of the opening scene was to say, like, don't cheat. Like, tell the truth.
The only thing that it did was, like, tell her that the truth is the most important thing in the world, which... arguable, first of all.
Second of all, Wonder Woman kind of already knows that.
Yeah,
that's how she defeats him, by like showing him the truth of his actions, I guess.
But like, it wasn't necessary.
No, absolutely not.
Same with the opening scene where she's like in the mall. I just think that was a waste of time. Like, I get that they need to, like, that's how they the museum initially gets no, the stone.
No, I disagree on that one, actually, because it sets her up as a character who's been, like, popping up throughout, like, different rescues, like, over, like, the past 6 months or whatever, and it also sets up how they got the stone in the first place.
I would have been fine if it started with that. I don't get why there's two opening sequences.
Agreed. Agreed.
Now, I think, didn't Warner Brothers actually tell what's the director again?
Patty Jenkins?
Mm-hmm. I think they told her that she needs to take out one of them. And I want to
throw this one out here. I'm going to throw another one out here. I think that this is a good case of, this is an opposite. Justice League was almost entire company tampering. This is what happens when you have no tampering. It's not it's not the worst movie ever. Like, there's people online writing on Twitter going, "This is the bad. I hate women movies." And you're like, it's oh, it's not that bad. But
it's not good. It's just not bad.
I just think that without this level of like, hey, you should do this. Hey, maybe cut this out. With like everything here is perfect. Because whenever anyone does something, if you have someone else look at it, they'll go, "Hey, why is this here?" And you'll go, "Oh, crap. I probably should." And like, you take the criticism to help make a better product in the end. When someone is like, "Here's my final thing," although it might be great in their mind, this is exactly how I wanted it to be. Is it the best thing for everyone to be watching?
Yeah.
And it's not like the whole movie is like terrible throughout. Why they do this? Why they do that? But there's certain points throughout where you're like, okay, those two things didn't need to both be in it. Kind of like.
I think that it was like a dumb premise for the movie, and that just set it up to not be good from the start. But also the pacing was really off.
Yeah.
And like didn't make sense most of the time. You know what I mean?
Like, honestly, if this was a Wonder Woman versus Cheetah movie, I would have been fine with that, because the pacing within the first hour is really great. It does a really good job building up Kristen Wiig's character with Wonder Woman. Like, they're believable friends. It's not so much the Amazing Spider-Man 2, where Spider-Man saves him once in the street and then he goes insane. Like, "Oh, Spider-Man's my best friend," kind of thing. Like, it was believable. And then this has a major case of Spider-Man 3-itis, where they just kept putting more things into it. Like, on top of Christian Wiig's character getting something from the Wishing Stone, Chris Pine is back. Oh, sweet. How's this going to work? Maxwell Lord is also here the entire time. Oh, cool. They'll set him up for the next movie. Nope, he's actually the main villain in this one. So then what's Kristen Wiig doing here? Oh, she's also a villain in this one. Do they work together? Maybe for 5 minutes in the whole movie.
DC has a bad problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, DC has a bad problem of just like overloading with characters in movies.
I think this...
It wasn't just like the... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that this is one of the weirder, more distinct examples where both of the villains have two completely different goals. And it's not so much they cross paths. It's so much as like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" And then it happens. Like in Black Panther, they had Claw, who wanted to get back to Wakanda. And then they had Killmonger, who wanted to take his rightful place of the throne, kind of thing. And you're like, oh, okay, I could see where they cross the line. And then with the twist, it makes like, oh, this guy's way more evil than this person. Here you just have two completely different villains who have two completely different goals who end up teaming up for whatever's happenstance, and then nothing happens from it. Like,
because they made out once or something. Yeah. Like,
I don't get it. I did enjoy how they actually showed Wonder Woman's job, though. Like, because no movie ever does that. They're like, I'm a teacher. And they never show them do the teacher. Like, that was a prevalent part of the movie. But it also might be a downfall. Maybe we don't need to be in the Smithsonian for half of the film.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Jackson?
And it wasn't like just the plot that was bad. There were a lot of like kind of minor things that made me just go like, "Oh, what the hell?" I'm gonna name a couple.
Name them.
The invisible jet. How she made it invisible first try, despite saying beforehand that the only thing she had ever made invisible was a coffee cup. That is a huge jump. Yeah. And they should have just said something like, "Oh, I made a car invisible," or "Oh, I made like a house invisible," or some shit. A plane is huge.
Or maybe
I made a house invisible, but I've never made anything that moves invisible before. You know, like
something like that. Or maybe like, "Oh, we need to get away without Maxwell Lord knowing." Oh, gotcha. And then she makes the taxi invisible, and you're like, "Okay, that's something Wonder Woman can do."
But that's not the worst part.
Set it up first. Don't just be like, "My dad did it once."
So
like,
that's not even the worst part about the plane scene. She turns it invisible so that they can't be seen by radar. But a radar would see you if you're invisible.
I mean, I guess technically we don't really know how our powers work with like our technology. Also, but I get what you're saying. I really do. Because like, I thought the same thing.
Is, like, see something that you can't actually see. Okay, another thing I had wrong with the movie.
Oh, Jax is going.
The Wishing Stone can grant any wish. She wishes for her. I can't even remember his name. Like, what's the movie
Steve
name
Trevor?
Steve.
She wishes for Steve back.
Did she intentionally do that though? Because I don't think she did. I think she was like holding it and went.
I know what I
just wish
for.
I could have more time with.
No,
him,
she was
you
like,
know, like things like that.
They said, "Oh, in mythology, they say that this stone grants wishes," and then she goes like, "I know what I'd bring back," and then she sets it down. So is it just like a thought? Because what if you're like, "God, I wish I could go to the bathroom right now," and then you poop yourself when you're holding the stone? Like,
I think it's like kind of like what you are thinking at that time. Like, you don't necessarily like have to say it, but you have to say, I would wish for, or I wish for, and then like whatever like you're thinking or saying is what happens. But I think the reason that she wished for that was because she already examined it and found out that it was citrine and like didn't think it was real in the first place, and so she was just like, haha, I'd wish for that, you know.
No, yeah, I'd bang Chris Pine.
The issue I say is that the stone's power is like practically limitless, right? Like, this guy can literally just, there can be nukes that pop out of nowhere.
Well, that's what happened.
So why couldn't a person pop out of nowhere? Why did he have to go into someone else's body?
That did confuse me as well.
Because it's not Steve Trevor's body. She sees him as Steve Trevor, right?
But and everyone else sees him as someone else.
As someone else, yeah. So that's another thing. The last thing is in the final fight between Wonder Woman and Cheetah, she pulls an electric wire into water to electrocute Cheetah. She's also in the water.
Yeah, and I didn't really, like, maybe time, she's immune with powers. Her powers. I don't.
No, they have
But then
the same
wouldn't
powers.
Cheetah have the powers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, Wonder Woman should have gotten shocked there, but she didn't. Plot armor or whatever.
I want to throw this back here as well. The stone can do anything, right? And then there's a cost. I feel like other movies, maybe even some within the DCEU, have explored that rule of they have this awesome power, but, and they've done it a lot better. Like in Man of Steel, General Zod was just as strong as Superman, but he didn't know how to use his powers like Superman yet. So when he did laser eyes for the first time, you could tell he didn't know what he was doing. In this one, everyone who gets something knows what they're doing immediately off the first try.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rule is everyone gets one wish, right? That's what they said out there. Said, here's the rule. Everyone gets one wish. How come Cheetah got to wish twice?
No, oh, no. That isn't... No, I actually have an explanation for this.
Explain
away. He doesn't wish twice. He uses someone else's wish to wish for her.
I think he collects everyone. So, like, the thing that he gets from, like, the monkey paw thing is he brings in all their, like, hatred and rage and, like, all that and, like, applies it to her, if that makes sense.
Well, no. Because,
like, the thing he takes from them is the hatred and whatever.
Okay, but you see how we have three different answers for something that they thought was very straightforward in the movie.
I guess.
That shouldn't work that way. If it's something complex, like Back to the Future or Endgame, where they're dealing with time travel or something, and you can't quantify it. But the thing is, they established rules in the beginning. You wish for something, there's a cost. Wonder Woman doesn't have her powers as much. She can't fly. She can't, like, she can get shot and it hurts. Stuff like that. But then you have other things where she's like, oh, I want to be even stronger. And he just goes, there you go. And then she's stronger. But then what was the whole point of setting up the rules? Because I'm fine if every wish has a cost, but you can wish unlimitedly. Because then you're like, oh, crap. What if people wish more than once? And for really awful things. Then you have more chaos. Instead, they're like, you get one wish. And on top of that, why is the rule for it, I repent my wish, and then it goes away?
Yeah, I don't get that either. I feel like you would have to be touching him and say, I repent my wish. Like, why can you just say, like, why can you just, like, speak it out and then it happens? Like, what if you accidentally say that once?
That's the stupidest thing is, like, you really think a god of, like, what was he? Like, the god of...
Mischief, whatever.
God of mischief. Trickery. Whoever made the stone.
Tricks.
You really think that he would just be like, oh, yeah, you could just say, yeah, I don't want it anymore and it'll go away?
Yeah.
Because if the drawback...
There should be some consequence.
Yeah, no, the consequence is, like, supposed to be worse than what you get. So, like, people would probably, you know, pretty often want to, like, get rid of their wish. So, just saying, I renounce my wish is good enough. Like, I don't know, man.
Like, if this was something maybe Zeus made as, like, something that taught lessons. You wish for something, you catch it, and then you do it. But it's made by the god of, like, trickery or something. So it's not something that you think would be like, oh, pretty straightforward. Step one, make a wish. Step two, repent the wish. Rinse and repeat. And then let's... We've done most of the middle part, whatever. Let's get to the final climax of the film. Actually, before we do that, I wanna point out one thing that I did really like. I want to see what you guys think. First thing I thought about was I really enjoyed how when Maxwell Lord wished to be the Wishing Stone, every time someone made a wish, if it was small and had like a minor thing, like he'd be bleeding out of his ear, but every major wish his like eyes would get bloodshot red or he'd get like bruises on his body. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I thought that was cool. Yeah. Like every wish has a cost, but it also has a cost on him. So then he has the genius idea.
Yeah, but then he was fine. Like he was like, I'll just take your guys' health.
No, that made sense. Like that was the one thing throughout all this wishing where he's like, that's going to be my trick because he didn't really control it. He would just grant wishes. But then he's like, I'm going to take your health every time you make a wish. So everyone wish him and he'd be healthy until someone else made a wish.
And he'd just take like a little bit of their health.
Yeah, basically. Just enough to make him healthy again. And then when he got this big old satellite to make everyone wish all at once, which first of all, what?
That made me so angry.
Yes, we have the super top secret. Oh my God. Top secret government satellite that can touch any screen at all. Okay, but why is that invented? Who invented that? Who is that for?
Ronald Reagan, dude. That was the president.
I remember Ronald Reagan's famous speech that he talked to everyone in all the world at once.
Yep.
And also, that president...
I guess it makes sense why they have it, but it would not work like that. That's not how that works. It doesn't send particles down that touches every single person. Like,
and he was playing like a lawyer, too. He was just like, so would you say they'd be touching each other? And he's like, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, what if it didn't work? That'd be so funny. To wanting, like, world domination.
Yeah, what if someone wished that they had unlimited power, and then his powers disappeared? Exactly.
You're telling me of the what are the limits of people, on that? Of the billions of people that were probably just watching the broadcast, not one of them wished to be like God.
The first thing I or do not is one wish of them wished to just
kill the dude. Yeah.
Like they see all the chaos that's going on.
I wish I had infinite power, you know?
Yeah, but like, some dude's like, oh, I want to be king.
Yeah, I want to be king of the world.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
Okay, another thing.
But like nothing really happened.
Yeah, that was pretty much a nothing plot. Something I wondered. A couple wish hypotheticals, if you will. What if someone saw the chaos and they're like, oh, I wish this never happened? What would happen then,
They'd be taking... They would be the only one with the toll.
Yeah.
They'd basically just take one for the team.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, why can't they just say, like, I killed the guy. And if you kill him, you kill the stone, and then all the wishes go away.
Yeah, because if everything goes back, if one person wishes for it not to happen, then why can't you just shoot him in the head and it goes back to normal? Because he's not bulletproof, unless one of his wishes was, you make a wish, I'm going to make myself bulletproof, that we didn't see as a deleted scene.
But that's not even how it works, right? Isn't it like you have to take something that they have?
Like right then and there.
Like it can't be like, oh, I granted your wish, now I'm going to make myself bulletproof.
No, because that doesn't tie within the wish.
If you were bulletproof, then you could take it, I guess.
I mean, if Superman shook his hand and was like, I want a wish, and he goes, okay, I get your superpowers, then sure.
Yeah, then that would happen, which honestly would have been kind of
cool. Which would have been cool if we got any other superheroes in this movie. Mm-hmm. But instead we got four and a half villains that don't matter.
Yep.
I will say, however, I will say something controversial here. You guys might not like it.
Oh, okay.
Wonder Woman's speech where she's talking to Maxwell Lord. Although it was tongue-in-cheek, although it was on the nose, although it wasn't very subtle, I did think for the time that we are currently in and for the message that was being said, that the speech was a highlight of the film. Where she's saying, like, always look for truth. Look for the truth in everything. There's always hope in truth. If you lie to yourself and lie to everyone you know, what are you? Are you even yourself? Things like that. I was like, oh, shoot. Wonder Woman's throwing down some philosophy in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought that was very nice. But other than that, it's not...
Ooh, I liked her gold suit.
That was cool. That was cool. Sucked.
Oh, and she's alive, too.
I was glad when she took off.
What's her name?
The gold wings, yeah.
Why would she take them off?
I don't know.
I liked when she took them off. They were really annoying me when she was fighting. I was like, you're just like hiding. You're not fighting.
Yeah.
You have your powers. Just do
you're Wonder Woman. You're like one of the strongest characters. Just grab her and snap her neck.
Also, I liked the flight scene where like she like kind of learned to fly like almost. That was, I liked it. You didn't?
Nope.
Really? Why didn't you like it?
Why not?
I just thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
I thought it was a sweet moment.
What?
For like her to be like, well, at least he's still with me in that I am being able, I'm able to do what he loved the most. And so like I think that that was like a good almost compromise for her, you know.
All right, time to play the game that no one likes. If it's in this movie, why wasn't it in Justice League?
Yeah, that's yeah. I was like, did she fly in Justice League? And I was like, I don't think she did.
Didn't. She used super speed, which was always a thing. Why didn't she use that in Batman versus Superman? Because if you establish a character with certain powers, cool. Don't retcon something that she can do without explaining why she doesn't do it in movies.
Oh, it's a different Earth. It's a different Earth with the same actress. Don't worry. This is Earth 2 now. Yeah.
Angry. This isn't the worst DC movie. Far from it. But it's definitely not the best one. I wrote on here on our script, does this surpass the original Wonder Woman? No.
Hell no.
I think her flight scene.
Did you say hell no?
Yeah, Jackson is very. I think her flight scene.
Jackson hated this movie.
He like vehemently hates this.
Yeah.
I believe that her flight scene in this movie was supposed to be like the comparable thing to her No Man's Land trench run from the first Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But that was so much cooler. As she just hit a grenade off with her shield and kept walking forward.
But also, I just want to talk about the physics of her flying for a second. She was like perfectly gliding in the air. And I understand she had a lot of momentum and like a lot of speed, but she's still a human body. Human bodies do not glide like that. Like you can't just like, ooh, I'm flying. Like, and she was like, maybe if I put my arm up, I'll glide. And then it worked. And I was like, that's not how that works.
Well, maybe she's in creative mode, dude. Come on.
/ game mode creative.
All right. Out of 5 CGI Christian Wiig cat girls, what do you give this movie?
2.3.
I haven't thought about my rating yet.
I'll give this movie, I'm going to say 3.4.
I'm going to think of this in terms of percentages, right? Yeah, so like, and then you just gave it a 3.4 out of 5, which is basically like a 65%-ish. Yeah. Oh, no, that's like a 70% you just gave it. I'll give it like a 3.7.
Oh, so you enjoyed it the most out of all of us.
Yeah, like I liked it, but like it wasn't good, but like it was fine to watch. There were just moments that made me go, why? Or like, that's dumb, you know?
I'll say this. It's definitely something where if it's on the TV, I'm not going to go, oh, I got to change the channel. I wouldn't say the same for Suicide Squad, Batman versus Superman, or Justice League.
100%.
So this movie is watchable and bearable. That doesn't make it great, and that shouldn't be the underlining thing for making a movie great. It's watchable and bearable, but it's not something you're going to go, this changed my life. I got to...
Yep.
Because that's what the first Wonder Woman movie kind of did. That was like a movie where you're like, I'm going to show my daughter this movie. This is how you be a badass.
And you were like, oh my God, DC's back. They're going to do it. Yeah. They're going to do great.
They did it. They blew their load too early. Just an FYI for the roomies and for our lovely listeners. In March, when the Snyder Cut comes out, don't worry. We will be reviewing not only Justice League, but Batman versus Superman.
Yay. Do we have to?
We got it. We have to. We have to.
I watched that movie in theaters, and I was just so confused.
I was
the
angry.
Whole time.
I was actually angry watching the movie. You know when Batman's staring up at the sky when Superman flies away, and he goes like, "Do you bleed?" I'm just like, "Oh my God, I want to cry right now." Thank you so much for joining us on our first episode of our third season. We are so excited to go over all the movies and shows that we wanted to last season that we just couldn't because of COVID when it kicked us right in the balls. But don't worry, this season we're back and badder than ever. And we don't mean the cool bad. I think it's worse. Like, Camden doesn't have...
We're just not good at
Jackson doesn't have a microphone. Camden's lights are off. I don't have pants. I had to eat them. But we're not only going to be playing catch up, but we're going to keep trying new things to make this as fun for you to listen to as it is for us to make it. We will see you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Goodbye. I said goodbye.